This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3998 for Wednesday, the 29th of November 2023. Today's show is entitled, Using Open Source OCR to Digitize My Mom's Book. It is hosted by Delta Ray and is about 31 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is, how I used open source tools such as Koto and the OCR software Tesseract to digitize pages.
Hello, I'm Delta Ray and welcome to Hacker Public Radio. Today I'm going to talk about a bucket list item that I was recently able to cross off my list. A long time ago, back in the 1990s in the 20th century, my mom wrote a book, and she passed away a few years ago, and this book was never published, unfortunately, but it's been on my list for a while now to try to get it published, get it digitized, and so on. And I've been able to use several open source tools to help me do that, at least to get it digitized. See, the problem was is that when she wrote the book, it was about 1994 or so when she started, and she used a computer running Windows 3.1 and a piece of software that is no longer supported, and at the time was honestly not very common. It was something that was bundled with the computer. And of course, since it wasn't very common, it used a document format that couldn't be converted into something more modern. So she's a bit stubborn in that regard. We tried to get her WordPerfect and have her use that, but she went ahead and used this other program. So fortunately, she actually printed the whole thing out. Over the next 4 years, she worked on this book and printed out a few different copies. I have one of the copies, and it's 338 pages. So trying to digitize all this in by typing it all in, while I tried that at first, it was going to take like probably a month or two of typing, about an hour a day or so. I mean, I can type fairly fast, but you know, it was just a lot. And I also found that even though I could catch most of my mistakes, I still ended up with, you know, a few mistakes when I was typing it in. So I thought, well, the nice thing about how this is printed out is that it's just, you know, a page per sheet, you know, just 8.5 by 11 paper, and I can just scan it. But using a scanner is often kind of clunky, and you know, you have to wait for the scanning bed to run the scanner over it, and then wait for the image to be imported and stuff like that. It's a bit slow, I think, and I needed my workflow to be a bit faster than that. So I decided to try to use, obviously I need to use like an optical character recognition system to be able to, you know, turn the image of the words into actual text, like digital text that can be copied and pasted into a word processor. And so, you know, instead of using a scanner, I have a digital SLR camera that has a USB output on it, and there's some programs that you can use on Linux, at least, for accessing that. One of them is called GPhoto 2. We'll get to that in a second, but basically I thought if I could set up my camera, instead of having like a top-down view so that, you know, I have to like mount it overhead and lay the pages flat on a table or something like that, I thought, why don't I just use like a document stand, which I already had a document stand, you know, something that you'd get at like an office supply store, and it would hold your document up at like a 80 degree angle or something like that. And then a tripod for the camera, and kind of aim the camera, you know, just a few feet away, aim the camera at the page through the open air, and light up the document, you know, well enough so that it gets a really good shot. so that I can be more certain that the OCR is going to have a really good input to work with and have less errors. So I set that up pretty much right in front of me, right next to the computer, so that, you know, like on the right side of me was the tripod with the camera on it, pointing to the left side of me, which is on the table where the document reader is, and the computer's right in front of me, so I can just lay out the book pages right in front of me and quickly flip, you know, one page to the document reader, the document stand, and then pull the previous page down to like a, you know, finished stack of pages. And then, you know, with the computer right in front of me, I can just trigger it to take the next picture, import it, and so on. So like I said, the open source tools for this are, you know, available. The first one is called GPhoto 2, and this is software for working with digital cameras over a USB connection, or maybe some air connections too, but I've been using it over USB, and just had a USB cable to, was it mini USB port, because that's what this older camera that I have uses, but you could use probably any USB type of USB connection. So it can trigger, GPhoto 2 can actually trigger the camera shutter and transfer the photo. That way I don't have to, like, I can just leave the camera turned on and in place. And instead of using battery on the camera and then running out of battery and then having to change the battery, I actually have an AC adapter for the camera, so that, you know, I can plug in the AC adapter to keep it running and so on. So I had to do a lot of alignment, you know, with the camera and do some testing to make sure I have it lined up properly. And one way that I did that was to take a picture using GPhoto 2 and then open it up in GIMP or some photo editing program that has guide lines that you can pull down. And then you can look at the page of text and pull the guideline to like the bottom of a line of text and make sure from left to right that it lines up properly and there's no, you know, it doesn't like go up or go down, and make sure that the margin along the left side is also all lined up vertically. That way you can be sure that the page on your document stand is perpendicular, you know, almost precisely with the camera lens, which will just increase the accuracy of the OCR. So you want to have a good setup so you can have good results. But GPhoto, you know, has some options for triggering the shutter and then transferring the photo. And then from there, I just, you know, save the photo to a file called fromcamera.jpg. And then there's another piece of software called Image Magic, which has some options for cropping the photo. And it's a, you know, Image Magic is a command line tool, and it has a program called Convert. And with this, I just, you know, run convert space from camera.jpg space dash crop, and then I give it, you know, the crop resolution. So in this case, I had to you know, take it into GIMP and find the right pixels, you know, the right dimensions for the crop using the guide. So it's in this case it was 2275x, meaning times, you know, 1700 plus 785 plus 560. So in other words, the height and width, or the width and height dimensions of the box that's going to be the crop, and then the offset from the upper left. And then the save file name, you know, output-crop.jpg, to further use it from there. So the crop is going to make it so that, you know, it's nice and cut. The images has been cropped down to just the page and stuff like that. That way any of the background that was in the picture can be removed that might confuse the OCR software. And then pulled into the OCR software, and there's a piece of open source OCR software called Tesseract. It's TESSERACT. I'll put this information in the show notes. But Tesseract is a program that's been around for a long time. It was originally developed by Hewlett-Packard in the 80s and 90s and then made open source in 2005. I guess it was worked on by HP in partnership with University of North Las Vegas, I guess, UNLV. They might have needed OCR software, and HP developed it for them or something. But fortunately for us, it was made open source, and now it's, you know, freely available just by, you know, in your program repos on your Linux distribution. And it works really well, I think. You know, I didn't have too many problems with errors, and for the most part, I was able to rely on it. I didn't really use the configuration options to, you know, an extent that might have cut down on the errors or something. I probably could have done that, like set the language and maybe excluded some characters or something. One reason why I didn't want to use excluding characters was because, even though I've read my mom's book, I wasn't sure whether she used characters like a slash, you know, like this or that, using a slash there, or using like a vertical bar. These are the two characters that I ended up running into sometimes. Like, for instance, if she said I'll, like I'll, and if it was italics, it would actually sometimes turn the I into a forward slash. And, you know, that's obviously wrong. But if I had programmed it to exclude, I can easily catch those types of mistakes by doing like a search or something, or using the spell checker. But if it had replaced like a slash that was literally used in the book by just excluding or something, I might have lost that information and not been able to easily find it. So that's why I didn't actually program to exclude certain characters. So anyways, Tesseract takes in the image, and then it just basically, you can say Tesseract space image name space, and then I used a dash to basically say just write the data to standard out. You can also, you know, have it like output it to a file name or something like that. Actually, in my script, I wrote a bash script for actually running all this stuff to make it easier, but you can have it, you know, write out to a file name. So I just said like OCR-text. But if you want to, you can just put a dash there to say write to standard out, so that it just shows up. That's good for when you're testing it. And then from Tesseract, I used the grep programs with the dash capital E option for extended regular expressions, and also dash capital P for the Perl compatible regular expressions, because what I wanted to do on each page of the book has like a header and a footer. The header has the title of the book, and the footer has you know, my mom's name, and also page numbers and stuff. And so the way she did page numbers was to put dash number dash. And I thought, well, I don't, you know, when I copy this into, I use LibreOffice for, LibreOffice Writer for actually doing the word processing. And what I wanted to do was make a script that accelerates my workflow so that I can do this very quickly. And so I wanted to basically scan a page, have it do all the necessary processing so that all I have to do after it's done scanning the page is just paste right into LibreOffice. And so I wanted to remove the header and the footer if it matched something. Like I set up so that it uses the dash V option in grep, and gave it some expressions to like remove blank lines, because my mom wrote the book in double spaced line, so that there's like a blank line in between each line. And of course, I can just remove this by using a regular expression like carat and then dollar, which means just match a blank line, and remove that from the output. And then, you know, another expression with the dash E option, and say, you know, the title of the book, and another dash E, and give it my mom's name. I want to give it as much context as possible, so I use a caret before the title, and then a dollar, you know, maybe a dollar sign after it, to catch just the title of the book on a line by itself. You want to keep in mind, does that appear anywhere else, you know, in the book or something? You don't want to end up excluding it if it's like in the middle of a page or something like that. And of course, the same thing with anything that you're trying to match here. It's like, you want to make sure that you catch all the corner cases and consider all those. So giving grep as much context as possible is a good idea. And then, let me see. And then also removing like the page number. So, you know, use caret. The caret is basically shift 6 on US keyboards. It's that, you know, it looks like a greater than sign that's been turned up on its side. And then backslash space to say match a space, and then an asterisk to say 0 or more spaces. So basically, if there were spaces that popped up before, it's going to match those. And then dash and square brackets, 0-9, closing square brackets, plus, and then another dash. And that matches the page number, and it could be any arbitrary page number. And it's going to skip that line, basically, in the output, so it will display that. And then pipe that into grep again, but this time using dash capital P. And the reason why I wanted to pass it through grep again is because sometimes I would end up with this form feed control character. It's like the hexadecimal code for it is 0C. And I guess Tesseract would insert that in cases where it found like multiple blank lines or something. It would insert a form feed, and I didn't want that to actually show up in the output, especially when I passed it into the copy paste program, which I'll talk about in a second. So I passed it into grep dash capital B P. I'm sorry, grep space dash capital P space dash V to exclude what it matches, space, caret, backslash X, which sets up the hexadecimal matching, and then 0C dollar sign. And so that will make it so it'll skip any line that has just a form feed on it. And so this first grep pipeline is for the purpose of displaying to the screen so that I can see what it, you know, what it matched in the OCR software. Then I run it again, basically the same expression a second time, and what I'm doing here is passing this into the Excel program, Excel space dash B. And what that does is, in Linux on an X11 desktop, it'll take the input from standard input and put it into your copy paste buffer. This is a really handy program, especially in like a script like this, so that I don't have to like select the text on the screen and then, you know, get the mouse selected correctly or something like that. It just basically kind of removes the errors that might happen and kind of speeds up the process. So from there, I can just do a control V to paste my copy paste buffer directly into LibreOffice, which is pretty handy. This script, I'm going to put this script in the show notes. So if you're not following all this just orally, then you'll be able to read along. And then the next thing I do is detect the actual page number. And the reason why I do this is because one of the things that the script does is it takes the cropped image and copies it to a image file name with the page number in it, so that later, as I'm going through and kind of editing the digitized text, I can compare it with a, you know, the scan of the page to check for formatting problems, and also to double check that the text actually matched properly and stuff. So I set up a variable called detected page is equal to, and then I give it a process substitution operator, so dollar parentheses space tail space OCR-text.txt to get the last 10 lines of the OCR text output, pipe that into grep, and then turn off the color, which you don't really need to do, but I do it anyways explicitly. And then dash capital P, because I'm going to use a special feature of the Perl regular expressions called look ahead and look behind assertions. And then dash O, which means only give me the matched output from the regular expression. Only give me the text that matches the regular expression. And then dash E to give it the expression. And here's where I use something called look ahead and look behind assertions. If you're not familiar with more advanced regular expressions, Perl regular expressions give you the option to basically match context around what you want to match without adding that context to the match itself. So in this case, the page numbers have a dash before and after the number, and I don't want that to be part of the match. And so I can use this special syntax, which is basically, it's kind of complicated. You'll see it in the script, but it's parentheses, question mark, greater than equals caret dash to match the dash, close parentheses, and that matches the dash before. And then I give it, you know, the grouping operator to match the number in between. And so it's like square brackets 0-9, closing square brackets plus, that's going to match the numbers, any arbitrary number. And then followed by the look ahead assertion for the dash after the number. And so that basically will end up printing out just the page number itself without the surrounding dashes. I could also use a set expression or something to do the same thing, but I thought I'd use look ahead, look behind assertions instead. And so detected page ends up with a detected page. I pass that into an if statement that's makes sure that it's actually a number. And if there's a number there, it asks you a question. What page is this? Followed by, you know, showing the detected page in square brackets to kind of show that that's the default if you just press enter. Or you could actually type in a detected page, or you could type in a page number of your own. So, you know, for instance, if it didn't get the number right or something like that, you can correct it there. And then, you know, giving the base case of it couldn't find, you know, there was no number detected in the detected page, so it's going to just say error, couldn't determine the page, and exit out. Then at the end of the script, you know, it's going to run convert again on the output cropped page to basically, I don't need like the full size image. I can scale it down a little bit and also reduce the quality a little bit in the JPEG image to save space. That way I end up with like a, you know, 500 kilobyte image per page instead of a 4 megabyte image per page. So, you know, 10 time size reduction almost. So I run the convert command again with the dash quality option space 85 to give it like an 85 JPEG compression, followed by dash resize space 80% to reduce the size by 80% down to 80% of the original size, so like a 20% reduction. And then followed by the input file name and the output file name, but this time with the title of the book dash the dollar page variable, but putting the word page for the variable name inside curly braces. That way you don't run into a case where any text that comes after that in the file name doesn't become part of the variable name. So you're kind of isolating the variable. And then just printing done at the end of it to say, you know, this is all done. Not a lot of like error detection stuff. And also, this is just a one-off script. So, you know, I'm not really super concerned about general use cases and stuff. But the script may be useful for you if you want to do something similar in helping you get that set up. So from there, I took it in. So every time I would need to scan a page, I just hit, I just ran this getpage.sh program again. And I'd hear the camera click to take a picture, and then wait a few seconds for Tesseract to do its analysis. And then it would print out the text on the page. And I can just take a quick look comparing the output of Tesseract with the actual physical page. And then once I'm satisfied, just pressing Control V into LibreOffice on the next page and making sure that it pastes in okay. And then creating a page break to make sure that the page numbers are, you know, gonna match up. That way I can be sure that I'm on the right page and stuff like that. Because after doing 338 pages, it gets kind of mundane and everything, and I could end up making a mistake. In the end, I was able to scan all 338 pages in about 6 hours worth of time over a two-day period, which was a substantial improvement over, you know, having to take like 2 months of typing or something. And I was able to get it done. You know, that was the most important thing. This is something I've wanted to do for like 10 years or so. And, so I'm happy that I was able to finally do it. You know, the funny thing is that, about page numbering in LibreOffice is word processors, you know, have always been kind of a hot mess. I've been using word processors since the 1980s, and formatting issues and the way you do certain things has always been complicated and everything. And one of the things that I needed to do was make the book document so that the page numbering starts a couple pages in, because, you know, you have the title page and the dedication page and the table of contents and stuff like that. And so you don't want to start the page numbering on page one of the document. You want it to start like in chapter one. And doing that turned out to be, you know, a bit complex of a process. And when I just searched LibreOffice on the search engine for LibreOffice how to restart the page numbering, I came across a LibreOffice page where, you know, the guy said, well, it's not as complex as you think. Follow these 10 steps or whatever. And, you know, it's like you go through it and you're like, oh, this is kind of complicated or whatever. But I wasn't too surprised that it was complicated, because word processors are complicated. But that didn't stop some people who were angry at open source being complicated, or they're perceiving open source to be complicated, from complaining about it and criticizing the LibreOffice developers and everything. And so I was like, I think this is maybe a bit unfair or something. I ended up going to a YouTube video about how to renumber stuff in LibreOffice, and there in the comments I found a bunch of people complaining about how it, you know, the user interface of LibreOffice is not helpful, and you know, this could be a lot easier, the developers need to think about the users and so on. So for comparison, I thought, well, how hard is this to do in Microsoft Word? And I found another YouTube video that was actually a little bit longer than the LibreOffice video. And I watched the process for how to do this same thing in Word. And it actually takes more steps and is longer and is more complicated. But hypocritically, you know, somewhat, I looked down the comments, and the comments are all like, thank you for showing me this. Oh, this is great. not criticizing that it would, you know, it takes a long time to do this in Microsoft Word. And they somehow hold Microsoft Word to a different standard, thinking that somehow it's better, or like it's okay that it's complicated because I guess they paid for it. So they feel like, oh, this is just the way it is because Microsoft Word is the better tool, or the you know, the status quo tool. If anything, the fact that people are, you know, talking about how LibreOffice should be more like Microsoft Word shows where the problem is. You know, we have a monopoly here. We have a problem with a monopoly. Anyways, so I was happy I was able to come up with this modular setup to make the whole workflow of digitizing my mom's book a lot easier, and I hope you were able to get some use out of this. So thanks. If you enjoyed this and you have some stories of your own or stuff of your own to contribute, I encourage you to download a program like Audacity or Socks or something, and find a microphone or use your phone. You can even call in to Hacker Public Radio to record a show and tell the world about your own story, your own ideas, and your own adventures in computing and other things. Okay, so till next time. Talk to you later. Bye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.